Let's pray. Father, we praise you. Thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to see its truth tonight. And I pray, Lord, as a result, we would be doers of your word. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are always funny things you can see in church bulletins and church signs. Here are some examples. Bertha Belch, a missionary from Africa, will be speaking tonight at Calvary Memorial Church in Racine. Come tonight and hear Bertha Belch all the way from Africa. Miss Charlene Mason sang, "I Will Not Pass This Way Again," giving obvious pleasure to the congregation. You didn't catch that one. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Don't forget your husbands. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. See, it's twice. In the same bulletin. How do you like that? Barbara remains in the hospital, needs blood donors for more transfusions. She's also having trouble sleeping and requests tapes of Pastor Jack's sermons. You're right. Frank told us the one day that he falls asleep by my messages. Thanks, Frank. During the absence of our pastor, we enjoyed the rare privilege of hearing a good sermon when J.F. Stubbs supplied our pulpit. Director will preach his farewell message, after which the choir will sing, "Break Forth into Joy." Irving Benson and Jesse Carter were married on October 24th in the church. So ends a friendship that began in their school days. A bean supper will be held on Tuesday evening in the church hall. Music will follow. Announcement in the church bulletin for the National Day of Prayer and Fasting Conference. The cost for attending the Fasting and Prayer Conference includes meals. Now, I want to talk to you tonight about the very last one, that issue of fasting and what the Bible says about it. Now, as you look at your life, you may look at your life and say, well, let me ask, how many of you have ever fasted? Raise your hand. How many of you have never fasted? Raise your hand. Okay. All right. Well, we'll learn some about what the Bible says about that tonight. Let's begin in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 6. "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is secret, who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Just want to pull apart this thought of fasting. You know, we're living in a nation that so indulges itself and has been so blessed by God, the idea of not eating is foreign to a lot of people. So what does the Bible say? Well, let's look. Notice the very first verse and the second word, "and when you fast." When you fast. Notice that Jesus said, when you fast, not if you fast, number one. Nowhere are we commanded to fast, but it is assumed we will fast by this word, when. First thing we want to talk about is that fact, when you fast. It is assumed. Just like giving, just like prayer. Go back to verse 1. Verse 2. "Thus, when you give to the needy," skip down with me to verse 5, "and when you pray." Notice the when in all these topics. When you give, when you pray, when you fast. So just as much as God wants us to give, and just as much as God wants us to pray, God also wants us to fast. Let's assume that we will. Jesus said that after he had left and gone back to heaven, that his disciples would fast. Now, in the Old Testament, the Jews were commanded to fast on the Day of Atonement. And according to Zechariah, there were some other special days when they did also. In the New Testament, we're not given any specified schedule for fasting, and we're not even commanded. It's just expected. When you fast, it assumes that we will. But I want you to notice, just like with giving, just like with prayer, the vast majority of our fasting will be private. That is, no one will know you are fasting. You're getting alone with God. You're getting by yourself. No one knows you're doing it. You're fasting. But just like with giving, just like with prayer, there are times when there is group fasting. Let me show you. Turn over in your Bible to Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. And this was true both in the Old and the New Testament. We're going to look at just a couple of examples. Acts 13, verse 1. Now, there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Maian, and a member of the court of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, notice, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work of which I have called them. Barnabas and Saul here being set aside to be missionaries. It happens while they were praying and fasting. Then look at verse 3. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So the church got together as a body of believers. They are praying and fasting. Holy Spirit lets them know that Barnabas and Saul are to be missionaries. When they finish praying and fasting, they lay their hands on them and they send them off. Turn over to chapter 14 of Acts. Verse 21. When they preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. When they had appointed elders for them in every church, that is, pastors, with praying and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. There were times when the church gathered together and they prayed and fasted. We've done that as a church on a number of occasions. Church gathers together and they say, look, let's get together, let's get along with the Lord, and let's pray and fast. Jews did it in the Old Testament, in the book of Esther, when the Jews were about to be destroyed as a people. Esther sent out a note to every Jew and said, let's as a nation fast and pray. So just like we give, just like we pray, there are times when we ought to fast. In the first century, think about this. Lord's dead, gone back to heaven. Disciples, the apostles are leading the church. We are told that they would fast every Wednesday and every Friday. Every Wednesday and every Friday of every week, they fasted. Several years ago, and you can buy the book, Jerry Falwell went on a 40-day fast. A couple days later, he went on another 40-day fast. What is fasting? What is it? It says, when you fast, we find all these examples in Scripture of believers, Old Testament believers, New Testament believers, fasting. What is it? Let me give you a very simple definition. It simply is going without food for the purpose of getting along with God or being together with the Lord. In fact, it literally means to have an empty stomach. Abstain from food. Now, they normally didn't abstain from drink, so they would drink water during a fast. Be careful. You wouldn't want to drink coffee or drink other types of fluids. You would drink water, and you would go without food. It was for a limited period of time, and you'd be surprised how long you could go without food. You really can go a while. We have several occasions in the Bible of 40-day fasts. Certainly, a day's not going to hurt anyone. Word of caution. In our day and age, lots of people are on medicine. So if you're on medicine, you have to be careful. If you're fasting, have to check with your doctor and make sure that you can go off your medicine, or you could take your medicine without food. So, you know, there is a precaution you got to think about. Because of the medicine you take, you may not be able to fast, but you may be able to fast one meal or two meals, but not the entire day. As I said, you got to check with your doctor to make sure. But we are told here, when you fast, go without food so that you can fast. When, not if. It is a spiritual exercise. A spiritual exercise. In fact, fasting is a great spiritual exercise. Turn over with me in your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Maybe that's part of the problem with us Christians today, or us who call ourselves follower of God. And it is that we don't spend much time having spiritual exercise. We get out of shape physically, that's easy to see, but we get out of shape spiritually, and it's not so easy to see. And then we only see the consequences when people's lives are destroyed. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourselves for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and the life to come. Physical training has some value, but godliness or godly training has value for this life and the one to come. It doesn't mention here what godly training is, godly exercise is. I think it includes a lot of different things. One of those things that it includes is fasting. Giving up a meal that you may spend time alone with the Lord. There are physical benefits for that. In fact, a while back, I don't know if they still do it, but those who had diabetes, they were fasting for 40 days to literally clear their body of all junk, and it seemed like it was really helping diabetics, but that is not the purpose of spiritual fasting. Whole idea is that you give up a meal, you give up eating, that you might get alone with God and spend that time you normally would have eaten as a time by yourself alone with the Lord. Take that time to pray. You take that time to humble yourself. Take that time to kind of get in so-called the inner closet where you could get alone with the Lord. Review your life before God. Review your life in this world. Review where you're at in life. Think about that thing which you are asking God for, praying about, that issue maybe as a church or even as a nation that we're getting alone with the Lord for. There are times in the Bible where prayer is mentioned without fasting, but there are no times in the Bible where fasting is mentioned without prayer. Biblical spiritual fasting was a time meant to be alone with God so that you can talk with God, spend the time you normally would have eaten alone with God, praying, focusing on God, focusing on your relationship with the Lord. One person writes, says it this way, fasting has been practiced by many different religions for centuries. It is personal self-discipline in which a person denies himself a normal need in order to learn to restrain his passions and desires and to express his devotion. Often God's people have fasted in order to express humility before the Lord and to show an earnest desire for the Lord to work in a particular way. Most commonly, fasting involves denying oneself a meal or meals in order to give oneself to the purpose of seeking God's face. And I'm sure that many of us wouldn't be hurt by giving up a meal. But there are many examples in the Bible of fasting, of where people gave up meals, but they had no value whatsoever. We see it here in Matthew chapter 6, where the religious leaders of the day were giving up their meals, they were fasting, they even were saying that it was for a spiritual reason. But they were doing it so that they would get that pat on the back. Look what Jesus said. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen. When they fast, that they would make their face look gloomy so people would say, oh, what's the matter? What's wrong? Well, you know, I'm fasting. I'm getting alone with God. I'm having a real devotion with the Lord. They were being hypocritical. They were just wanting to be seen by others. He says in verse 16, they've received the reward. That's it. It's over. But notice when we fast, we ought to anoint our head, wash our face, that no one will know we're fasting. Even if it is a group fast, a church fast, even a nation fast, it's not meant to be where you're kind of, you know, strutting yourself and putting your chest out and saying, everybody look at me, I'm doing something spiritual. Sad, gloomy face. Turn over with me to Luke chapter 18. Some in the New Testament wore fasting like a badge of honor. Chapter 18, verse 9. He, that is Jesus, also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. So there's some of those days were walking around and they just looked at themselves and said, I'm righteous. I'm right with God. And treated others with contempt. In other words, they looked in the mirror, they saw themselves as good before God, but everybody else they looked down on. Here's a parable Jesus tells, verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. How am I better than them? Notice, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. He looked at himself as being righteous before God, and two of the things that he kind of shouted was, I fast twice a week and give tithes of all I get. Now, those two things were certainly honorable. But they weren't once the Pharisee began to use those things to puff himself up. I love the tax collector, though, in verse 13. But serves as a transition or as an opposite, a contrast. The tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven. But he beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. He exalted himself by saying, I fast and I give. That kind of fasting has no value. There's certainly great spiritual exercise in fasting, but when you wear it as a badge of honor, it's lost all its value. Fasting also means nothing if your life is not right with God. You know, there are those who come to church or those who go for worship and they will mention things like fasting or tithing or maybe just I go to church regularly or do other kinds of, quote, religious things, but in their heart, they're not right with God. So if your heart's not right with God, if you're not right before God, all the religious things you do are meaningless. Let me give you an example. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58. I can usually watch people's eyes during church and kind of tell where their heart's at. Many of you know, as I speak, I watch. So I can see your eyes. I can see everybody's eyes. My eyesight's still good to do that. Can't see my Bible in front of me, but I can see your eyes. And I can usually see people's eyes, and not always, but a lot of times I can tell what's going on there. I can tell by people's actions whether they're even listening to what I'm saying. So you can do religious things like come to church regularly. You know, there's some people that are at church, they never miss. They may claim fasting and tithing, but you find them during the week, and their lives tell a different story. That's what we find here in Isaiah 58. Cry aloud, verse 1, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted and you not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you do not, and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, your fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit a wicked with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice be heard on high. Is such the fast I choose? A day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? And when you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? In the first two verses, notice these people, the Jews, drew to God, loved to hear his word. They would fast. And then in verse 3, they asked why God wasn't listening to their fast. Verse 4 and 5, they ask, or God says, is this the fast that you're doing really the kind of fast I'm looking for? Verse 6 and following, he says, look, this is the kind of fast that I really seek. And it was certainly not their fast. Their fast was not right before God. It is in light of this that you read chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. They wondered why God didn't hear their prayer or see their fast, and God says, look, it's your sin. Some people think they can live their life any way they want and fast, and then boast about their fasting, boast about their church attendance, boast about their giving, boast about their religious activity. But it's all meaningless if it's not done with a right heart attitude and the right life, a life that's living righteously. Well, let me say thirdly, why should we fast? We're not commanded. He did say, when you fast, not if you fast, but why should we fast? Well, in pagan religions, they fasted in fear of demons. Now, some pagans thought that when you ate, demons would get on your food, so the best way to keep demons out of your life was not to eat. So they often didn't eat. In some fertility rites, they thought that if you wanted to have babies or get pregnant, one of the easiest ways to do that was to fast. So I don't know if there's any ladies here tonight that are looking to get pregnant, just stop eating. I don't think it works, but that's what they did. Let me just again say, it's pretty simple. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. He says, when you fast. When you fast, God expects that we will fast. As I already mentioned, it is a spiritual exercise. We see here in chapter 6 of Matthew, it is an act of righteousness. Go back to verse 1. Chapter 6, 1. Jesus said, beware practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. So he's talking about practicing your righteousness, and then what's he do? He talks about giving, praying, and fasting. Fasting is an act of righteousness. It is meant to be practiced. Now in the Bible, there were several occasions when they fasted. I've already mentioned some of them. Let me kind of give you a list. They fasted when they were oppressed by great cares. An example would be when David's baby got sick after his sin with Bathsheba. He thought to himself, who knows, maybe God will yet hear me. So in 2 Samuel chapter 12, he fasted, hoping that God would forgive his sin and save the baby. Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah fasted over Jerusalem and the mess that it was in. These were fasts of great cares. They fasted over their own sin. Ahab, one of the most wicked kings to ever live, when he was confronted with his sin, he fasted. And he humbled himself before God, and he repented of his sin. 1 Kings chapter 21. In Ezra chapter 8, they fasted because they wanted to humble themselves before God. You know, I think that's a really good reason. I think sometimes we begin to look at our own lives and sometimes get a little too proud so that we don't pray enough. We don't keep our relationship with God right. And if you think that, you know, your prayers are stale. Think maybe you're going to God's Word and you're not getting anything out of it. Think that maybe your life is just kind of getting out of kilter. That's an awful good time to fast. It's an awfully good time to just get away by yourself and just spend some time with the Lord in fasting and prayer. Daniel fasted when he was seeking an answer in prayer. In Daniel chapter 9, He was asking God to answer his prayer, so he fasted along with his praying. We saw several occasions in the book of Acts already where they prayed in preparation and about ministry. In fact, in Matthew chapter 4, we find Jesus doing what? He fasted for 40 days, and he got alone with God at the beginning of his ministry. As I mentioned, there are also national fasts. Times of danger, over bad news, over the sin of the nation, during the Day of Atonement, they fasted. Did you know even in America, there were national days of fast? There are times when this country, believe it or not, called by the President of the United States, called the entire nation of America to get alone and fast as a nation. Which president, you might wonder? Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln wrote an address. He proclaimed a national day of fast. It was Thursday, September 30th, 1863. It was a national day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer. Here's what he wrote. It is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history that those nations are only blessed whose God is the Lord. The awful calamity of civil war, which now desolates the land, may be a punishment inflicted upon us as for our presumptuous sins, to the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. Thursday, September 30th, April 1863, a national day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer. I wonder, do you think our present president would have a national day of prayer and realize the only nation that is blessed is a nation before the God of the Bible? Do not rule out fasting in your life. It is an awesome spiritual exercise, and there's great benefit in doing it. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 14 and 15, it says, "Then the disciples of John